Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hey guys, with sports betting season in full force with football here, you need a sports book with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sports book industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BETUS.com, and they have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 1-800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MY-BETUS. You receive 125% sign-up bonus by using bonus code SST125. That's SST125. They have re-up and referral bonuses. Also, BetUS is known among America's favorite sportsbook for lots of reasons. Bet on team and player props, loads of NFL futures, UFC matches, PGA golf, live betting on most sports. The online casino has hundreds of games. The Racebooks has all the horse tracks. They have every bet type imaginable. Follow my lead and get your phone, online, and sports betting partner with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. Bet US.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Chuck Oliver Show continuing on this Thursday. Coming up in just a few minutes, Connor Gara going to be with us from Saturday Down South. Always love talking with Connor. Just a tremendous bounce around the entire SEC. And everybody down there, just a great crew down at Saturday Down South. One of those websites. I don't think they charge for anything, do they? Yeah, it's all free there. Really good stuff covering this conference. And then, of course, SaturdayTradition.com as well is one of their sites as well. So Connor's coming up in just a couple of minutes, but right now we'll get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365.
Headline, Urban Meyer, quote, "No chance I will leave Jags for USC." Urban Meyer was asked by the media who covered the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I don't know if you heard him, it's a pretty standard answer. It's like, there's no chance. I'm going to be the coach here. I'm not going back to college when I'll be the coach at USC. If you watched it, I've already seen people breaking down his body language, the fact that he was looking down when he answered. Head coach at Southern Cal, it's one of the few jobs I would say this about. It's a better job to be in the NFL. There's only 32 of them. And I think you can be successful at any of them. I don't think you can win a Super Bowl at every one of them. But it's better to be the head coach in the NFL, I believe, because you don't have to recruit, than almost anywhere in college. USC is one of those intriguing exceptions. But he says, nope, no chance. That is his official response to this point. Headline. Tennessee junior running back Evans hopeful to play Saturday. Can I expand that headline? Tyon Evans, JUCO transfer, who looked good in the season opener. Got in the end zone even against Bowling Green. Didn't play last week against Pitt. And he's an intriguing looking, he's 5'11", 220 pounds. Did not play last week, and he could play Saturday. Now, you want anybody new to the program, new to the offense, which everybody there is practically. You want them to get as much reps as possible, but Tyon Evans is actually a kid. He and Jabari Smalls, they're excited about that duo on Rocky Top, and I think they should be. Don't know what the injury was. In fact, I don't know. I remember looking, and I don't remember if – I don't think Josh Heupel even ever said what it was. So whatever the injury is, if they didn't disclose, and I don't think they did, he can play, but they're playing Tennessee Tech. That is how I would explain the expand the headline as well. Tennessee junior running back Tyon Evans is hopeful to play Saturday, but it's Tennessee Tech. And he's a guy that if you're going to have that Saturday in the conference, he's one of those guys that can help you. So I'm excited to see if he can get back out on the field. Headline, Southern Miss lists co-starters at QB. Trey Lowe is listed as the starter, and then there's Ty Keyes. Keyes got some mobility issues there, or excuse me, some advantages there. Lowe's big him. He's like 235 in the pocket. But you've got a totally different skill set, and they're playing Troy this Saturday. And, I mean, I don't know what you found out playing Grambling, but they got Troy this weekend, and that's a little bit of a different challenge. So, you know what? Consider yourself up to date. I got more I could talk about, but we got Connor O'Gara coming up from Saturday Down South. That's next on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers, today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open, Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Many times I will talk about a site, for instance, like Saturday Down South. And I'll say, if you're a fan of the Florida Gators or somebody who plays the Gators for a non-conference, you know, somebody who's a fan of a team not in the SEC who may be listening. Well, this time I'm talking about me because there's also SaturdayTradition.com, which is the Saturday Down South. It's the branch off the bow that covers the Big Ten. And so if you're a Penn State fan or a fan of somebody who plays Penn State, which is Auburn this week, then that is a tremendous site as well. And like I said, the Saturday crew, both sites, just tremendous coverage, including our good friend Connor O'Gara. Connor, brother, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. You know, I love it when people bring up Saturday Tradition. That's something that I came down here to start, actually, you know, back in 2015 and getting to do some Big Ten stuff. You know, that was originally my entire motivation, and then getting switched over to mostly SEC stuff. I try and cover a little bit of both. So, yeah, I got a lot of Penn State and Auburn thoughts about this weekend. So I love it when Big Ten and SEC teams play. It's kind of like right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, and I haven't. I've said that through the first 2 weeks. I mean, 122-10. The first thing I know is you weren't playing very good opponents. The second thing, though, about Auburn, I said nothing has been contradicted. You know, I thought Tank Bigsby was a stud. That hadn't been contradicted. I thought the defense had studs everywhere. Hadn't been contradicted. But I'm not sure of what I know about Auburn. Other than Demetrius Robertson, maybe just needed a chance. Maybe that was real. Tell me what you suspect about Auburn, what you know about Auburn. How can they win this game Saturday? Because there's a little bit of momentum with some folks I've talked to so far this week that there's at least positive thoughts about Auburn.
They've played two scrimmages. Let's call it what it is. You play Alabama State, you play Akron. All right, that doesn't really test anything. And to me, I was looking at those games saying, if they struggle, that's more worrisome. I'm not necessarily going to all of a sudden buy into this Auburn team if they roll in those first two games. The next month is really going to determine what Auburn is going to be in 2021. And beginning with this weekend, can Bo Nix get over the road woes that have plagued his career? In 9 road games, the guy has a quarterback rating of 105. He's 4-5 in those games. His team has only reached 30 points in 2 of those 9 matchups, and they were against defenses that finished in the outside of the top 115 in FBS. You can look at that and say this is a measuring stick. Auburn fans know that as well as anyone. And going to a place like Penn State, with a defense like that, that's number 16 in the country, this is going to be a monumental test. And if there's anything that I've learned from Auburn so far that I think is actually noteworthy and has been a positive development, is that Jarquez Hunter looks like the real deal. The true freshman, the guy that can spell Tank Bigsby, is so important in a game like this against a Penn State defense that doesn't allow those chunk plays. Hunter can get you those chunk plays. He's already got the longest touchdown run in Auburn history, and the guy's only played 2 games. That's a positive for this game, and it could potentially give Auburn a chance to hang around. Do they hang around? It depends on your definition of that. I think Penn State wins this game by 2 touchdowns. I think Auburn is going to basically enter a hornet's nest in the first whiteout in almost 2 years there. So I think that there are positives that can come away from this game, but I do think that Penn State's able to roll.
How does Florida get the dub?
Prayer.
Good place to start. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, let's be real here.
So Gene Hackman brings the priest in there. David picked up the stone and slung it. And then maybe they go out there and they defeat Alabama.
Something like that. It comes down to Emory Jones not making mistakes. This is the stat that I keep bringing up throughout this entire week. 15 starting quarterbacks have beat Alabama since 2009. Those quarterbacks have thrown a combined 3 interceptions. None of them have thrown multiple interceptions and beat Alabama. The last quarterback to throw an interception and beat Alabama was Cardale Jones, 2014. This is not a game in which Emory Jones could do the things that he has done in the first 2 games of this year, and that is make dumb mistakes, predetermined reads, late on his reads. Alabama will feast on that, and it'll get ugly if Emory Jones does that. He needs to play a perfect game. And not the type of game that makes us wonder, why is Dan Mullen still giving him so many reps and give Anthony Richardson more time? We don't know that Anthony Richardson's going to be 100% healthy. We'll wait and see what that hamstring looks like on Saturday. But the only way Florida can stay on the field with Alabama is Emory Jones getting rid of those bad mistakes that have plagued him so far this year and putting together a performance that makes Florida fans kind of step back and go, wow, that was different. That's the Emory Jones we thought we were going to get this year.
Mississippi State is better than I thought that they would be, and that defense, it looks as salty as maybe it was last year. Give me your download of Mississippi State through just 2 weeks.
I don't know that Mississippi State's offense has really passed the eye test that I was looking for, and I think it was it was a slow start against NC State offensively.
Yeah,
and La Tech as well. I mean, you fall behind by 20 points, and you need to rally back in the fourth quarter. That's not ideal, but I think offensively they still have some things to figure out. I think Will Rogers has been pretty good, but they don't run the football a lot, just like typical Mike Leach, and they don't necessarily get those chunk plays, and it puts a lot of pressure on them. And I thought the opening kickoff to return that for a touchdown the way that they did against NC State was huge, and it threw off everything that NC State wanted to do in that game. And for whatever reason, they kept attacking Mississippi State secondary, which is the strength of the entire team. So that was a weird move overall. I think there's a tough matchup against Memphis. I think Memphis wins this football game, and I think a Memphis offense that's rolling right now, despite the fact that they lost Grant Cannell, the starting quarterback from Arizona, I think that they're going to be fine with Seth Hennigan, and I think that they can do some things to kind of keep Zach Arnett's defense a little bit on its heels because they have balance. So I think that's going to be a tough game, and I think they ultimately lose that one, and we're kind of wondering, where is Mississippi State going into SEC play?
Wrapping up with my man, Connor O'Gara, Saturday down south. All right, Aggies are hosting New Mexico, and then it gets real. Like, they could lose the next 3 after that if Zach Calzada doesn't get that offense humming. Arkansas, Mississippi State, and Alabama. I know that they're better than 2 of those teams, but nothing about that is easy, and all of it is dangerous in my mind.
You're exactly right, and it's dangerous because of the 3 defensive minds that Zach Calzada is going to face. Think about that. Barry Odom. Look what Barry Odom just did to Steve Sarkisian this past weekend.
Yeah.
Then you get Zach Arnett, who we were just talking about him and the great performance that his defense had against NC State. And then, oh, by the way, if you get through those 2, you got Nick Saban waiting. There are 3 elite defensive minds that Zach Calzada and that offense is going to face that, in my opinion, will be better than what he saw against Colorado. And if it was just a case of a guy not being ready for that moment early on, and he figured some things out in those last two drives where he starts converting third downs. That's a positive for A&M. I have my questions, though, and I'm high on the Aggies. I said the Aggies coming into this year were going to beat Alabama. With Haynes King as their starting quarterback, I can't sit here today and tell you that that's going to happen. But I think that the talent that he has around him should help. The defense is going to keep them in games. It's going to be about winning ugly. And if you can get back to Haynes King in mid-October with only having one loss, I think as an A&M fan, you kind of have to feel good about that.
Just a couple of more. LSU, that just doesn't look right. And I mean, like, the whole thing right now. They're 1-1, and they're going to be 2-1, I certainly suspect, after Saturday. But the offensive line, I know they're banged up, missing some starters, but you still should be able to just mash McNeese State. The running backs, that doesn't look like LSU running backs. The wide receivers doesn't look like LSU receivers right now, production-wise. That whole thing is just off right now, at least to me, by my vision.
It's bad. You're exactly right. With the running backs, I mean, it seems like everything in the ground game that could go wrong has gone wrong. And even, I mean, now you're going to be without Kevin Faulk, which, you know, thoughts and prayers with the Faulk family right now and what they're going through. But, you know, then there's the bizarre John Emery situation. We kind of overlooked the fact that Chris Curry transferred in the offseason to Utah. You had Dare Rosenthal leave late in the offseason for Kentucky. And it's just like everything that kind of can go wrong for this offensive line has, and they don't look particularly good. And then you add to it the fact that Jake Pete's new offensive coordinator is still kind of figuring things out. Ed Ogeron talked about getting calls in a little bit too late. That's something that they need to be able to figure out so that it's not just this panic at the line of scrimmage and then they're kind of on their heels. They have to figure things out against Central Michigan. And that's a halfway decent Central Michigan team who I thought looked decent against Mizzou in the opener. And they can hang around with LSU. I mean, LSU is not in any position to put its foot on the gas against an FBS opponent that actually has a clue. And I think Central Michigan with Jim McElwain might be just that.
Last question I want to ask you about Ole Miss and the defense. They'll get pushed a little bit more this week, I believe. But how real is that? And, you know, until we get into conference play, it's always hard to really calibrate it. But what's your opinion about the Ole Miss defense?
I said coming into the year, can they just flirt with mediocrity? They've done more than flirt. I mean, they look at the very least mediocre. And watching what they did to Malik Cunningham in the opener was impressive. And Chance Campbell, I thought, was an impact transfer. The guy that they got from Maryland, all Big Ten honoree last year. And I think that this Ole Miss defense looks the part. They're a lot more aggressive. Even in a game last week where they're actually like getting flagged for pass interference and whatnot, and they're taking chances, and they got all those targeting penalties the first game. You know, I kind of think that's a positive because they're at least in position to make some plays, and they're being the aggressors. I think that'll carry over, and I'm kind of rethinking my 8-4 projection for Ole Miss. Tough test this week. Michael Pratt, the Tulane quarterback, is a stud. Go ask Oklahoma fans about that. So I think Ole Miss is legit, and I think that battle for the number two spot in the SEC West is certainly up for grabs, and they're going to be a big part of that.
All of this stuff, folks. I mean, I just gave you like 10 minutes with Connor. You can get him every single day, Saturday Down South, as well as SaturdayTradition.com. Connor, thank you, man. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Chuck.
All right, Connor O'Gara, again, senior national columnist, Saturday Down South, does a great job covering this conference and sort of harkening back and covering the Big Ten a little bit, which, again, when those conferences collide, there's usually something entertaining that's going to happen. And that's what I'm expecting on Saturday. With Auburn and Penn State, certainly. There is another matchup in that game that, you know, I mentioned a little bit earlier today that is really a measuring stick game. I say when you get in the conference and, you know, it's hard to calibrate. Well, Penn State will help you calibrate that. And it was something that I was asking JG about a little bit earlier in the program, the Auburn wide receivers. I had made a comment a couple of years ago, and again, I'm talking about team I root for more than anybody else in America. I said, I don't understand why receivers keep going to Auburn because they were getting some premier guys, and then a lot of them would leave. Nate Craig Myers, when he showed up, and again, I don't even know what kind of receiver he is. I know he looked great, but I don't know anything else about him, and I'm saying as far as if he's going to be an NFL star or a Canadian League star or an Arena League star or just he's going to go, I don't know, work on Wall Street. I don't know what his future is. But I know when he showed up as an 18-year-old, he was one of the most heavily recruited wide receivers in the country. And that was a class with three other receivers. I think Marquise McClain was the lowest ranked of the four. They had Kyle Davis, if you remember him, one of the top-ranked receivers in America. And he actually already is playing pro football. I think he is in Canada. But that was, I want to say, signing day 2016. Look at the group they've got right now. Hudson and Capers, and I mean all of these kids that if you're talking either real high three stars or in a lot of cases four stars, who just left? Seth Williams. Seth Williams could have gone just about anywhere he wanted. Anthony Schwartz, with that speed? Yeah, there's a lot of coaches would have said, yeah, we'll give you a chance. Schwartz, what did I see the other day with Cleveland? Like a 45-yard catch? His first, I think it was his first catch. There's a chance that he is a better pro receiver than he was in college. So there's talent out there, but I just don't know very much about him because to this point they haven't been asked to function in a normal way.
Huge college and pro football weekend ahead. Hi, I'm Dan Matthews, and let's get a look at some odds brought to you by BetUS. Let's start with Michigan State at number 24, Miami. Noon kick in South Florida. Hurricanes, 6-point favorite, minus 225 on the money line. Spartans are plus 185, over-under 56.5. Number 3, Oklahoma, home for Nebraska. Sooners giving 22.5. They're minus 1,800 money line. Huskers plus 1,000, over-under 62. Mississippi State on the road at Memphis. Bulldogs are just a 3-point favorite. Tigers are plus 145 on the money line, over under 64 in a hook. Number 22, Auburn at number 10, Penn State. Nittany Lions are a 5-point favorite. Penn State minus 190 on the money line. Auburn plus 165, over under 52.5. Number 1, Alabama in the swamp, taking on number 11, Florida. Tied, favored by 14 and a hook. Bama, minus 650 on the money line. Gators, plus 475. Over under, 60 points. In the NFL, Titans are out west, taking on the Seahawks. Seattle, home favorite at 6. Tennessee, plus 225 on the money line. Seahawks, minus 265, over under is 54. Sunday night, Chiefs at Ravens. Kansas City is a road favorite at 3.5. Chiefs are minus 190 money line. Ravens plus 165, over under is 55. Want to make some money? Do it very easily when you enter the following promo codes on BetUS.com. How about SST125? With this promo code, you get 125% of a sign-up bonus. For example, you deposit $100, you're getting an extra $125. How about cryptocurrency? SST200. With this promo code, that is 200% on a sign-up bonus for crypto deposits. For example, that crypto deposit, $100, you're getting $200 extra. This is all courtesy of BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook for over 25 years.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.
College football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show, and it's even more fun when it's the Chuck Oliver Show live from Harris, for instance, since we were there last Thursday and Friday. I got two unders that both hit on Saturday, and then, you know what? Laying points on the road, I just don't like doing it, especially in a conference game, but I split those. I had South Carolina minus the two, and then I liked NC State on the road as well, and that one bit me. But, oh, it is so much fun. If you've ever enjoyed walking to a window, you may enjoy our next guest, guy we've been having on the entire time, the full 7 years since we started this show back in 14, good friend of mine and somebody that in an industry where it's hard to find stability, he certainly has it. I want to welcome on from Doc's Sports Service. It is Robert Ferengo. Robert, how are you, brother?
I am well. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm doing good. It's football season, and I have the ability to wager when I want to. First of all, it says stability. Talk Doc Sports Service. DOCSports.com is the website. Doc Sports Service, family-owned, family-run, same address since 1971. That's almost unheard of in the handicapping industry.
Yeah, this is 50 years. This is our 50-year anniversary, started by just some good people up in the Wisconsin region. We eventually branched out to Las Vegas. And, yeah, we made a name for ourselves by not trying to make a name for ourselves, basically. You know what I mean? We have no sales team, no shady used car salesman sales tactics. We honestly just believe that there is a mutually beneficial relationship. We have information. People want it. You make money. We make money. We work together. We're kind of a team. So we're a little bit different in that aspect.
Well, let's talk this weekend. Auburn at Penn State. I think the number I saw is at 6 or 6 and a hook right now. Give me the Ferengo angle.
This is the game, right? Like, this is the really interesting game. Actually, that number opened at 6, 6 and a half. It has been dropping. And the betting on this game is split pretty much 50-50. So when you see that number come down, and that's a significant move, right, off a relative key number in college football, that means that while the action is split, the big money is actually coming in on Auburn. Now, how much of that is just, you know, blindly bet the SEC in non-conference, right? The SEC is the big beast. They just lay waste to everyone they play. And how much of that is people are really wanting to buy in on Brian Harsin and Auburn? They've looked great these first 2 weeks, but they've played a bunch of patsies. So we still don't really know who they are. I got an interesting angle on this, though, all right? The SEC favorites SEC underdogs of less than a touchdown against Big Ten opponents have only gone 9-17 against the spread in the last 18 meetings, okay? In the last 13, the Big Ten is 10-3 against the spread when they are favored against SEC opponents. And, Chuck, you know that these Big Ten teams, when they get a chance to knock off an SEC opponent, like, this is, outside of their big rivalry conference game, this is the game that any Big Ten team would have circled. And they've overperformed against the spread in these situations over the last 4 or 5 years.
All right, what I was just talking about, man, I just got some rules. I do not lay points on the road in a conference game. Bob, Alabama is minus 14.5 against Florida. Discuss.
Okay, so you know my stance on Alabama. And this will and I implore all of your listeners to adopt this same stance, all right? You either bet on Alabama or you pass on the game.
Bama or walk.
Bama or walk, that's right. You don't get hero points for betting against Alabama. And a lot of times betting against Alabama, it sounds good, it sounds sharp on Wednesday or Thursday, and then Saturday afternoon, like 5 minutes before kickoff, you're just looking at that ticket being like, why in God's name did I bet against Alabama? So don't do it. So I understand that those points are very, very appealing here on Florida. Okay, and for me, this game is probably going to be a walk. All right, Dan Mullen, in his career, has proven to be a very, very good underdog coach. Nick Saban is only 30-33 against the spread when his team is favored by fewer than 17 points in SEC play. Home or away, okay?
Yeah.
So that's the situation here. Now, I don't like Florida. Florida is a team that I'm going to be looking to bet against in SEC play. I think they lost too much talent. I don't like their quarterback situation. I just don't think they're very good. However, Alabama lost a lot of talent, too. They've played great to this point, but like you said, covering two touchdowns on the road in the Swamp against a rivalry opponent that has the revenge angle from the 2020 SEC championship game, I could see this one being like an Alabama 10-13 point win, but I don't know if it's going to be a 20-plus point game. So for me, it's a walk.
Wrapping up, Robert Faringo again. You can get with him online, DOC Sports. It's Doc's Sports Service, docsports.com. And again, Robert Faringo, and he'll have something for all the listeners coming up in just a couple of minutes. But let's bounce into the ACC. And I'm not being facetious here. Why is the Clemson number, quote, only 28 and a hook?
Because people don't trust them. After what they saw against Georgia, that left an impression with people on Clemson, right, wrong, or indifferent, whether or not that's a fair value assessment that people have made. That really stuck with people watching them get slapped around. And then you just start to think about all the talent that they lost from last year. Now, Georgia Tech, I understand that they're bad. They're real bad, right? But I'm not ready to give up on them. They're in year three of this program. They do have a little bit of experience. I feel like this game means a lot more to them than it does to Clemson. And, you know, the Tigers get to coast for these next 10 weeks. They're going to be double-digit favorites in every single one of their games the rest of the way. So I can see Dabo kind of taking some time in second halves of these games to develop those younger players, to see what he has, to push some competition, to push against some of those starters. So I don't know if they're just going to step on the field and win this game by 40-plus points. We haven't seen that yet from this group. So until we do, I think some people are hesitant. I'm not in a hurry to take the points with Georgia Tech, but it wouldn't surprise me if they found a way to, you know, throw some points up on the board and hang around in this one. I don't see them losing 70-17 or whatever it was the last time that they played Clemson.
It was 73-7, and Dabo not only put the punter in at quarterback, he called pass plays. That's not made up. Just a couple of more for you. Florida State. Here's my conundrum. I told myself this morning, I'm looking at the number, I was like, I can't give 4.5 to Florida State if I'm Wake Forest. And then I said, there's no way I can take FSU plus only 4.5 right now. That game smells.
Yeah, you got to stay away. You got to stay away or you got to play Wake. You know that this game means a lot more to them than it does to Florida State. Florida State in a killer letdown situation after the Notre Dame heartbreaker and last week's just embarrassment. That line is coming down because a lot of people see the same thing that you do. They're like, come on, I don't like this number. No way. Give me Florida State. But over 73% of the action is coming in on Florida State. But they are completely off the rails right now. There's no way that I'm trying to buy the Seminoles low because we don't know if they've hit rock bottom yet.
Oh, that's funny you said that. I was texting with a buddy of mine Sunday, and he was along the lines of, well, at least we know what the bottom is. And I said, I learned in Vegas, you never say it can't get worse. And so I agree with you. We don't know if this is the bottom for FSU. I mean, as far as like 0-2 losing to Jacksonville State, but I mean, this season absolutely could fly off the rails. Last game I want to ask you about. Steve Sarkisian, I don't know that I can. I know what you think of certain coaches. You text me on Saturdays and Sundays and tell me. I don't know what you think about Sarkisian. I suspect he may try to take it out on Rice to show everybody I do so know what I'm doing.
He will. He absolutely will. The problem is, I don't know if Texas is physically strong enough at the line of scrimmage to really impose their will on people. Okay, that was the problem last week against Arkansas, right? Is they got physically pushed around and physically manhandled. That wasn't a failure of scheme or coaching or a talent deficit. They just weren't strong enough to do that. You got to be careful in a letdown situation like Arkansas is. That was a big game for them. They were up for that game, and they really got their heads taken off last week by Arkansas. So what do they have left in the tank this week to throw on Rice in-state school? This is Rice's Super Bowl. So I don't know. They should. It's kind of like the Texas A&M New Mexico game. That's another one that I'm looking at where Texas A&M, they were lucky to escape with a win last week. So you think that they're going to take some aggression out on New Mexico. A&M is physically dominant over that New Mexico team. I'm not sure if Texas is physically dominant over Rice. So again, until I see it from them, I don't know if I'm buying in just yet.
Okay, along those lines then, I said final game, but along that same storyline, what's Ohio State and what's Tulsa this week?
Yes.
Same sort of storyline?
Very good defensive team. No, I actually do like Ohio State to hit the gas in this one. I haven't been buying into them. I bet against them each of the last 2 weeks. I took that terrible push with Minnesota on the Thursday night game. That should have been a win. That was one of my bigger plays of the week. And I was on Oregon last week. So don't like Ohio State in general, but I like them in this spot. Tulsa, very good defensive team. They already played against Oklahoma State, so they've already seen high-end competition. But right now I want no part of Ohio State. They are going to max out in this game, and I just think that Tulsa is going to be a little bit worn down from their early schedule. So, no, I can see Ohio State laying it in. But to your point, they're laying a touchdown less than Texas is, than Texas A&M.
Oh, yeah.
So we got a chance for a 24-point Ohio State win is not beyond the realm of possibility. Neither is a 35-point Ohio State win.
Folks, like I said, this is the kind of information you get from Robert. We have him on from time to time, and it's always just really good stuff. Whether it's college football, the pros, hoops, certainly baseball down the stretch here. Robert, give the listener something.
I know we've been talking college football, but I'm gonna change it up, and I'm going to go to the NFL for you. I love New England this weekend. Do not overthink it. They outgained Miami last week. Should have won that game. The Jets lost at Carolina. If Matt Rhule had not been coaching that game with both hands firmly around his neck, they would have beaten the Jets by 30 last week. New England is not going to go 0-2. They are going to absolutely dismantle the Jets. That will be at least a 17-point game. Lay whatever the spread is. Right now it's 5.5.
Wow.
I'd lay it up to a touchdown.
Wow. Huge move, and you'd stay on it. Normally, you know, that steam either gets me off the game or having looking at the other side. Good stuff there, Robert. Brother, we'll have you back on again as we get throughout the season. Thanks for coming on today.
Good luck to you and your listeners, Chuck.
All right, Robert Faringo again from Doc Sports Service, docsports.com. Again, just not a client, doesn't pay, just a guy that I want to bring you some information and good football talk. And I was wondering about it. I was going to ask him about the Ohio State-Tulsa thing as well, because there is the week after sort of reaction that you've got to drive home the fact that, no, I know what I'm doing. We've got this thing going that this is it's everything we talked about in July. In July, you talked about in spring, back in January when I was hired. We're still getting everything done. It's just we had a misstep. Mike Norvell, if he's claiming year zero last year, he had that speech after a game Saturday. Sarkisian had that speech after a game Saturday. Ryan Day had that speech. I still have a lot of faith in C.J. Stroud. I still have a lot of faith in our linebackers. This is a quality team. All our goals are still, and all the goals still are still in front of you. Oregon wasn't a conference game. All the goals still in front of you. They are. But there is a profile of a game this week that I noticed like four of them on the schedule, and I think we had actually all four of them there. So, again, appreciate Robert coming on. We will break, wrap up on a Thursday next.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Chuck Oliver Show wrapping up on Thursday. Thank you to all the guests for coming on. Thanks to everybody, all y'all listening, whether it is live on your terrestrial radio station, wherever that is, 54 sticks every single day throughout nine states. And again, we got a birthday next week, so we turn seven, so that's pretty awesome. But appreciate you coming here. If you miss the program or if you just want some convenience to make sure you never do, thepodcastpark.com is one place you can go. You can click subscribe, like, all that stuff. It'll just show up on your phone or iPad or whatever it is you have. It'll just pop on there every single day. So go to thepodcastpark.com and subscribe, and boom, you're going to get the show every single day. You can listen to it over and over, the same interview, fast forward, go back, listen to something else. I missed that part. Don't have to do it. Again, subscribe wherever you get your podcast, actually. Dan will be popping in here in just a couple of minutes, but right now I'm going to wrap this up with closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
Demetrius Robertson is the second most important player in the Southeastern Conference this weekend. He is Auburn's most productive wide receiver to this point, and he also has been, at times, Auburn's returner, and he's carried the ball. And the phrase, featured, that's Demetrius Robertson. He's been featured the first couple of games, and again, as I started the show with, the first two games are against Akron and Alabama State. You have to see if the first 2 weeks were just Bobo and Harsin featuring Demetrius Robertson for future transfer efforts. Hey, you come here, look what we did with Demetrius. He's now drafted. And you can do those kind of things. You honestly can. You respect every opponent. We're not here to set records. No, you're not. But against the first two opponents you've had, you could, I'll say it this way. It was attainable for you to work somebody into the mix, and that's exactly what they've done. But we'll see if this is just featuring Robertson against beatable opponents or if he's really re-attaining his potential now. Remember, if you go way back in time, I think it was 2016, fall of 16, he was a true freshman, and he caught 50 passes at Cal. And then he played, I think, one game the next year and got hurt and didn't play anymore, transferred to Georgia, and was an afterthought almost every single Saturday there. So he had given you indications he was reaching his potential before, and then there's like 3 years to just whoosh, disappear. The reason I say he's the second most important player in the SEC this weekend, he is that important because so far he is the most likely outlet for Bo Nix on the perimeter. Again, I don't know what Kobe Hudson or Canyon, I don't know what any of those guys ultimately become. I kind of do know about Demetrius Robertson, at least a skill set, and I have seen him produce. If it's real, if this is him, hey, I just needed an opportunity. That was all. Bo Nix has a big-time game-wrecker sort of target on Saturday. If it has been just working him into the mix, you're going to have to be a little bit more resourceful if you're Bo Nix, especially on, as I was mentioning earlier, a 3rd and 15. By the way, if he's the second most important player, who's the first? Florida quarterback. That who is the most important player in the SEC this Saturday. And the Florida quarterback, I'm just going to throw Peoples and Richardson in there together. The hamstring, I'm assuming it's going to be fine. Emory, I'm assuming that he's going to be a little bit more squared away and really have a big stage this weekend. And so Florida quarterback, yeah, the most important player in the conference, but Robertson is second. That is my closing argument on this Thursday. Dan, how you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing really well. And, you know, we also have another rule that I believe, if I'm not mistaken, was given to us by Rusty Mansell. Follow the visits. And this weekend in Athens, I don't know if you've seen this, one of Rusty's coworkers actually breaking the news, Steve Wilfong, that Arch Manning is going to be in attendance there at Georgia and South Carolina. And if you think last weekend was necessarily a fluke in terms of what the play calling was and the game plan for UAB, I don't truly believe so. I mean, if nothing else, is it purely coincidental that after it was announced last year that Arik Gilbert was away from the LSU program and immediately thought he's going to leave, he's going to transfer? Boy, they featured Darnell Washington a lot that week. I think is almost kind of a, hey, see, we throw the tight end here. Look at what we do. I don't know who's going to start at quarterback this week. Frankly, as we found out last weekend, it really doesn't matter. And I think for the most part, even though probably up front the personnel is a little bit better for South Carolina, we're going to be looking at the same kind of attack offensively that, if nothing else, it's a proof to everybody who is on the field and not injured at the moment or away from the team or whatever have you, that you need to be ready in order to make plays for later on in the season, because whether Kirby wants to admit it or not, they are preparing mentally somewhere in their brain, maybe not at the front, maybe not at the back, but probably about row 27 or so back there in the brain for December against Alabama in the SEC championship game, because that is going to be what has to be showcased. But I think in this case for Arch Manning, if nothing else, it is a chance to show, hey, guess what? Our offense, it's not the way that it was in the past. Even when we've said we've tried to do this in the past, we didn't have the guys to do it, but now we will have those guys. We have guys like you. We can prove it to you that we can do this offensively. And I think with them in the building, they are going to be probably, if nothing else, and it's not going to be, like I said, in the forefront of, hey, let's give him a good show, but it is going to be one of those things that they want him with a lasting impression when he leaves, and him and his dad, Cooper, are on their way back to Hartsfield-Jackson. Hey, what'd you think? They want him gushing about, hey, you know what? That offense looks pretty good. He's already kind of doing it with Todd Monken. I think if nothing else, they're looking to give him another reason on Saturday to do that, because he is what it sounds like, a once-in-a-generation talent, like his uncles.
He's at Newman. Is that correct? And he is just – this is just his junior high school season. Is that accurate as well? Because Gunnar Stockton, this is his senior season, and so they're spaced out like that. Man – I marvel at two parts of that story, and it's not even really to do with Arch Manning. It's just that you could have another five-star quarterback just follow the parade into Athens, and part of it is what you were saying. Like, I was bringing up that point with Demetrius Robertson. Like, we're featuring him so that folks, coaches are working that angle. Absolutely they are. Wandell Robinson, what a stud. Mark Stoops, he's going to be on the recruiting trail telling other folks in the transfer portal, look at Wando Robinson. What a stud. Look how we treated him when he came here. So what you were saying about the targeting and Darnell and all that all absolutely happens. And there are times when you're aware of who's in the building. No, and you don't disrespect the opponent and take care of the task at hand. Absolutely all of that is first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and 18th priority. But you understand the full picture. Unfortunately, I'm saying for South Carolina, because I like to be rewarded. I like an entertaining 3 hours on my TV. I kind of agree with you, not 56-7-ish, because UAB didn't even scratch on offense. Not 56-7-ish, but I don't expect this to be a real competitive thing. And I'm hoping, again, I just keep coming back to it. There's no way Shane Beamer can start Luke Doty. There's no way. There can't be. Because, you could just get absolutely buried right out of the gate. So, all right, that's going to wrap it up for this Thursday. 22 hours. Let me recharge the batteries. Be back this time tomorrow with more college football conversation right here on Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right. You can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly, because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today. AccentRoofingService.com.